Well, today we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1 again. We'll be in verse 21. The name of the message is the exaltation of Christ. The exaltation of Christ. We'll be in verse 21. But we will go back and look at verses 19 to 20, but I'll read 21 first. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So a couple weeks ago, because I was away the other Sunday, we looked at God's great power in verses 19 and 20. We looked at how there was different Greek words used for power there as well. And we'll read those right now. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So we looked at how God is almighty. He's all powerful. There's no one who can come close to Him. No one. He is so far above us in power, in majesty, in might. He's God. He's God. He's sovereign too. And we looked at how that same power that raised Christ from the grave is the same power that regenerated we who believe. That same power. And it's marvelous. And it was, and we see at the close of verse 20, it speaks of Christ here, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and sat Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now I was pondering this morning, not this fact, but I was pondering something this morning. Christ was God before He came to earth. He was God. Christ was God when He was born in a manger, as a little baby. He never ceased to being God. But now, one commentator said, He's become something that He wasn't. He's man and God. But He's still God, beloved. He's still God, incarnate in the flesh. And then when He lived that life, when He was working in the carpenter shop, He's God. He's God in the flesh. When He's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes and they're coming against Him, He's the God-man. He's still God. When He's dying upon the cross for our sins, He's still God. He's perfect. Absolutely perfect. He's the God-man. And when He is risen in exaltation and enters into the glories and splendors of heaven again, He's still God. But He's the God-man. The God-man. The great Redeemer of sinners. So He absolutely never ceased to be God. Never. And our sins were laid upon Him. God cannot sin. He never ceased to be God. He is perfect. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. So let us keep that in mind as we look at these scriptures here. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Now the right hand, right? The right hand. He sat at the right hand in heavenly places. The right hand denotes power. It denotes power. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And He's God. He's God. Look at this in Matthew chapter 20. And this speaks, the right hand speaks of a place of power, in a place of might. Princes sat next in honor and authority to themselves at their right hands. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. And this tied in for me here as I was studying for this message. I was like, wow, now I know what their mother was asking in Christ's response to her. Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children, verse 20, with her sons worshiping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him. He said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto Him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. Oh, no, they're not. No, they're not. And he saith unto him, ye shall drink indeed of the cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved to indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the great princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now, remember in Colossians, we saw that Paul is a minister by the dispensation of God. He's a servant. Think of this. Our Lord is the King of glory. And he's condescended and became a man. Greater love hath no man than this. What condescension, right? What condescension? But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let us serve one another, beloved. We're not to exalt each other. Bruce told me about a young preacher in another church that's starting up. And I said, well, praise be to God. And he said, yeah, we ought to glorify God. I said, yeah, there's no competition among preachers. There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. We have the same message. We're preaching Christ and Him crucified. We should be excited when the Lord raises up a young preacher. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man, look at this, look at this. Even at Christ, God, the God-man mediator, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, right? But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, what a great King we have. What a great King. So our Lord Jesus Christ has all authority and all power, and he sits upon the majesty on high right now. He's not waiting to rule, beloved. He rules and reigns right now. He's King. He's King at the right hand of the Father. And so let's go back to our text, and I'll read verse 19 and 20 along with it so we can get the context of the verse. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and sat Him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So here before us, just like we saw in Colossians, we saw a very similar statement in Colossians, very similar statement. Turn, if you would, to Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Now, this is a topic that's very dear to Paul, the preeminence of Christ. Very, very dear. And if you notice in our text in Ephesians, it says, far above all principality and power. He's talking again about how Christ is supreme. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, it says this, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. For His glory, beloved. And then it says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. See, He has the preeminence. And then back in our text in Ephesians 1, it says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named. He's so far above. He gets all the preeminence. All of it. All of it. And again, this is a topic that's very dear to Paul. Very dear, and very dear to every believer in Christ, that God in Christ is absolutely supreme. Supreme. And if you read Paul's epistles too, take note of this as you read Paul's epistle. Two distinct things. I was talking to Bruce about this too, that we continuously see. We see Paul usually combating a specific error. He's usually combating a specific error that sprung up in the church. And those errors still spring up today. They still do. They still do. And think of this. Any amount of works pollutes the well of free grace. Any amount of works. How much poison does it take to pollute a well? Just a drop, right? Just a drop. Well, how much works does it take for it to be no longer grace? Just a pinprick. And then the second thing that Paul is continuously bringing up is the supremacy of Christ. He always brings it. We were looking at it in Titus. If you read Titus 3, you see Paul here talk about what we were before we were saved, and then he just goes in to Christ and the glories of Christ. And it's wonderful because that's what he always did. He's getting carried away with the gospel, carried away with the free grace of God in Christ. So he's continuously battling works-based salvation, and then the second thing is he's always bringing forth the supremacy of Christ, And he's always bringing forth the gospel too, the gospel, which is only found in Christ. Without Christ, it's not good news, is it? And that's what the gospel is. It's good news. Good news for sinners. But without Christ, there's no good news. So he is continuously setting forth Christ in his glorious power and his supremacy. And here before us, he again is setting forth the fact that Christ is so much higher than princes and principalities and all powers. He's so much higher, beloved. He's so supreme. God has raised Christ far above all principality and power, our text says, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And as I said, we looked at that statement in Colossians. It's the same statement, pretty much. He's continuously striking that, the preeminence of Christ. That ting, like we talked about before, but ting, he's just hitting that musical tuning fork, getting their minds and eyes focused upon Christ and Him alone. And as we look at the Scriptures, may we behold Christ. May we behold Christ in His glory. May we behold Christ on the throne. He is uplifted, beloved. He sits and rules and reigns a King supreme. And may we draw near in awe as we gaze on the preeminence of Christ. And we just have but limited understanding, really. But the little understanding we have leaves us in awe, doesn't it? Leaves us in awe. And think one day we're going to see Him upon His throne. That hope which we don't see now, right? Because if you hope for something, remember, if you hope for something, you don't see it. But if you see it, you don't hope for it. We hope for one we don't see. But we will one day. We will one day. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. So may as we ponder the preeminence of Christ, may it just leave us in awe at His majesty and at His grandeur. He is King. He is King. And this morning's message, we're gonna go through and see our King die upon the cross. Oh, it's incredible. The very one who had angels worshiping Him hangs upon a cross for His people. What humiliation, what condescension. What condescension. So we've seen in our text here that it says that Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Everything pales in comparison. No glory can exceed His. No glory can exceed His. No power is as supreme as His. You know, people, governments have power and people have power and this. It's nothing compared to what our King has. Nothing. Oh, He's glorious. And this is the one who saves us. And this is the one who keeps us. We can draw comfort from that well, can't we? What a well. Oh, what strength we can draw from that. And think of this too. The seraphim. Angels. Creatures we can't even imagine. Bow down before. They have to cover their eyes in His presence. He's so holy and so righteous. What power. What power. They veil their faces while they worship Him and glorify Him. And the glorified saints, brothers and sisters we know are worshiping Him right now in glory, are looking upon Him in glory. Oh, so let us ponder this too. That God, the God who they have, the seraphim had to cover their eyes before, became a man and died on Calvary's cross. Died on Calvary. He laid aside all His majesty. He laid aside His majesty, if you're a believer, for you, for me. He laid it aside. Oh, what condescension. And He saved His people from their sins. He became a servant. He became a servant. And He was nailed to a tree by wicked hands for my sins and for yours. Oh, what a wondrous thought. How depthless is this love. It's depthless, beloved. It's deeper than an ocean. Deeper than any ocean. We were out at Brother Neil's last night and looking at the sky and seeing the stars, and we were out there to watch some fireworks and seeing the stars, and His love is higher than the heavens for His people. We look at that and we're in awe. His love is higher. Far, far higher. Far deeper than any ocean and far higher than any heaven is the love of God in Christ for His people. It's an everlasting love. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, what mercy God has upon sinners in Christ. So let us draw near to the throne of grace and let us be in awe. Let us be in awe that He left the glories of heaven. And if you're a believer, for you. May we never get over that. May it ever be before us. And think of the security that the believer has. If Christ is far above all principalities and power, right? Which He is. Think of the security the believer has because they're in Him. If he's, you know, you hear these folks that say they can lose their salvation. Well, they never had it in the first place. But they say that they can lose their salvation. If Christ saves the sinner, right? And if Christ is far above all principalities and powers, that means He's far above my power and your power and anyone else's power, right? What security for the believer? What security for the believer? Now, it doesn't mean we go out the door and go crazy, does it? Because none of us would even say that. But people say, well, when you talk like that, you're saying you're giving people license to sin. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The love of Christ constrains us. Now, the things we hated, now we love. The things that we loved, sin and doing other things, now we hate them. And we hate them more in ourselves. We don't look at other people and go, well, look at that guy. No, we're going, woe is me. We're like that publican. God be merciful to me, the sinner. It's me. It's my sins. He died for my sins. And if you're a believer, you could say the same thing. He died for my sins. Oh, my goodness. What love. So what security the believer has in Christ. No man is able to pluck them out of His hand. No man. He's far above princes and principalities. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. He is a King Supreme, beloved. A King Supreme. Far above principalities and powers. Far above puny men. Far above anyone who thinks they have power. Far above. He's so far above. So far above. So far above any other powers in the universe. He's so far above. He's God Almighty, the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at Psalm 145. Look at verses 3 to 13, look at this. Great is the Lord. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. You can search and search and search and you're still searching. But think of the Bible. We dig and we study, and it's like I say, it's like a mine that just keeps giving jewels. It's unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Oh, we speak of the wondrous works that God has done in Christ for sinners, don't we? Oh, and man shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Oh, the righteousness of God in Christ, perfect, spotless righteousness, which the believers clothed in. Oh, my. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Oh, God is merciful, merciful. He has the rain fall on the just and on the unjust, doesn't He? Oh, what mercy He shows. And then He has mercy on we who believe, undeserving sinners. And He has mercy upon sinners. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Verse 9, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and the saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. What is witness? You know, folks get all tied up in knots about witnessing, right? I remember in religion, you know, you had all these steps and everything we had to do and all this stuff. But you know, do you know what witnessing is? Telling the great things that God has done for you. Telling of the greatness of His power. I couldn't save myself, and the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. He did it all. Remember the Gadarene, the demoniac, and the Lord saved him, and he was seated before Christ. He was in his right mind. He was clothed, which pictures being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And he wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to go, and the Lord said, "No, you go and tell the great things that God has done for you. Great things that the Lord has done." That's witnessing, beloved. That's all it is. We just tell people what God's done for us. We speak of the glory of thy kingdom. Look at verse 11. We speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of man his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It will never end. No one will usurp Christ. No one. No one. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Even if people don't believe he's king, he's king. He's king, beloved. He's the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. And He rules supreme. And think of this, there is nowhere, nowhere where Christ does not rule. Nowhere. Nowhere. And the believer finds great comfort and rest, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll close with this. Philippians chapter 2. These verses here show us the Lord's condescension. And think of this too, in verses, what we're looking at here. These verses here before us in Philippians, though, will show us the condescension and the exaltation of Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Remember, he's the God of glory, and he becomes a man. Becomes a man. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, right? Far above all princes and principalities. He is so far above everything. Everything. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father, so that He get all the glory. And next week, Lord willing, next week we'll finish this chapter, Lord willing. So I just pray that God will use the preaching of his gospel for his glory and his honor and his praise.